Today's scripture is from Galatians 1:10 to 24. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't need a mic today, actually. That one? Hello. Okay, I think I'm good. All right, everyone. Good morning or good afternoon. I think that extra took extra maybe 5 minutes. It's maybe afternoon. Good to see all of you this morning, this afternoon. If you're visiting us today, welcome. If you're coming back, second, third time, welcome back. We're always, I sometimes think about just the privilege that I have to speak God's word to our church. And I'm just thankful, and so we're thankful that you're here with us this afternoon today. We've been going through, we are starting to kind of go through the book of Galatians this spring, and last Sunday we talked about how Paul starts the book out with passion, and usually when Paul writes his books, there's the greeting section, and then he goes into some kind of prayer or thanksgiving for the church and their partnership in the gospel. But actually, the book of Galatians doesn't have that. Paul kind of goes into the meat of the letter, and this is what he says in verse 6. We didn't read it today, but last Sunday we talked about this a bit. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. And can you imagine, this is, you get a letter from your mentor, your teacher, and he begins the letter by saying, I'm astonished at what's happening to you. And that's the feel of Paul's letter. There is a sense of passion, and I think we could even say a sense of anger in his tone. And then he jumps down, and verse 8 he says, and he uses some of the strongest language to, again, kind of talk about these Christians turning away from their faith. And he says in verse 8, But even if I, or even if we, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, and as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one when you received, let him be accursed. And so Paul, again and again, says, something is happening to you. You're turning away from the gospel that I gave you, I proclaimed. And if that's happening, I bring curse upon the people who are preaching a different gospel. And so the question that I want to ask this morning, and we'll answer it together, is where does this passion from Paul come from? Why is he so passionate about the gospel? Why is he so keen on holding on to the purity of the gospel? And I think what we see in this section that we read today is he's giving us his spiritual autobiography. And in it, we learn two things. We learn about how the gospel came to him, or how he received the gospel, and the impact the gospel had on his life. This past week, you know, I think as my kids are getting older, I'm learning more things about them. And this past week, my middle child came up and asked if I would help him solve Rubik's Cube. And that was something that was around when I was young. But I don't know exactly where he got the interest from, but he actually bought one, he brought it, and he was trying to figure this out for a long time, looking at YouTube, and I guess it's kind of complicated. So I kind of did that with him for, I want to say like good 4 hours this week. Like kind of, I know, like you're probably thinking, what's our pastor doing, wasting his time? But it was fun. It was kind of fun figuring it out. We actually solved it. I mean, praise God for YouTube, and you could learn a lot of things, you know. But we did that, and then my older son kind of walks by, and he knows his brother, right? And so his comment was, it's gonna last for a week. Next week you're gonna throw it away, or you're not gonna know where it is, something like that. And I share that because it's kind of true where, my middle child gets fixated on something, but it doesn't really last too long. You know, maybe for a week, maybe for 2 weeks, you know, and then afterwards we don't know where it is or where it's gone. He picks up something else. I say that because when we read Book of Galatians and when we study Paul's life, his passion for the gospel is not just a week thing. It's not even a year thing. It's his lifelong pursuit. Right? And so the question is, where does it come from? Why is he so passionate about the gospel? And again, he gives us two things that I think that will kind of help us. How he received the gospel, and then what kind of impact it had on him. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you kind of turn, I'm going to walk through a few verses to kind of highlight certain things. So we'll start from verse 11. He says, so first question or first thing that we want to talk about is, how did the gospel come to Paul? Verse 11, it says, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, the gospel that I'm giving to you, the gospel that I proclaimed to you when I came, it didn't come from any person. But he's saying, I wasn't discipled by anyone. No one came and taught me the doctrine of salvation. No one taught me anything about grace. No one taught me these things. It didn't come from a person. He says, it came from revelation from Jesus Christ. The risen Jesus showed up and gave me the gospel that I'm proclaiming to you. And then I think what we could include in this section is, it didn't even come from himself, right? He was a rabbi, a Pharisee, he knew the Old Testament, and he's not saying, it didn't come as I meditated on the Old Testament. It didn't come through my reflection and my own personal study. He says, it did not come from any man. This is not a man's gospel. It didn't arise from man's tradition or man's wisdom, man's intellect. No, this is a revelation that came to me through Christ, Paul says. And then Paul again says, second part of verse 16, he says, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit. So here's what he's saying. He's saying the false teachers that came to this church or these churches have been saying that Paul is a second-class apostle because he wasn't the original 12, right? And so what they've been saying, or in this letter what we could assume, is that Paul was taught this gospel from the original 12. But what Paul is saying is, once I received this revelation from Jesus, I didn't go to Jerusalem. I didn't talk to other apostles. He's saying, I was away by myself for 3 years. And then afterwards, I went up to see Peter and other disciples. And I didn't even see everyone. I only saw James, the Lord's brother, he says. And then after that, at the end of that section, verse 24, they glorified God because of me. Because they validated what I was talking about. They validated my experience. So here's what Paul is saying. Paul is passionate about the gospel. It angers him that other people are talking or adding or taking away from the gospel that he gave to the Galatians, because he says, this is not from me. This is not from any person. This is a message from God. This is a revelation from God. And that's why there is this passion about the gospel from Paul. You see, it's because, again, it didn't originate from any person. He's bringing the good news from God himself. And so Paul is passionate. He's saying, Galatians, don't add on to anything that I've given you, because this is a message from God. Jesus, the risen Jesus, came, appeared to me, gave me the gospel. And that's why there's such passion in his life and in his tone about this letter. And in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, we get a glimpse of his life and his ministry. And this is what he says. He says, you know, Paul suffered tremendously for the gospel. And this is what we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, he was imprisoned multiple times. He received countless beatings and often near death. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked 3 times and was in the sea night and day. He has received persecution from the Jews and the Gentiles. He experienced many sleepless nights, experienced hunger, thirst, and he says he often went without food. And he says, I went through all of these hardships because of the gospel. Now, why would he do that? Well, he firmly believed, and as we read here, he believed, and it's because he proclaimed not man's message. What he was talking about, what he was sharing, what he was proclaiming was message from God. And that's what we have. That's why he's passionate about that. You know, this past week, as I was thinking about preaching on the gospel, it's kind of like, man, this is what I'm talking about, and what we're talking about often in our small groups and amongst even amongst Christians. It's a message from God, and I mean, do we cherish it? How can we apply this into our life? And let me just bring out 3 things. If we really believe that this is a message from God, right? And the 3 things. One, it's an essential message. We need to have this. And that's actually how Paul starts out the book of Galatians, right? As he greets the Galatians, he begins to talk about the gospel. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. So the first question that we could ask is, do we have the gospel? You know, do we believe this message that God became a man, lived a perfect life in our place, died for our sins to rescue us from this present age. And in his resurrection, by our faith, it guarantees that we will one day rise with him and to live eternally in his kingdom. I mean, do we believe in the gospel? Some of you might ask, you know, how do I know if I have the gospel? I think we've said it before. It's not so much the amount of faith that you have, because I think sometimes when Jesus talks about faith, you know, he says, you know, if you have a faith as small as mustard seed, or he talks about, you know, he heals people who didn't necessarily have great faith. But I think one way we can check to see if we have the gospel is just our relationship with God. Because last Sunday we talked about how the effects of the gospel is that we have a relationship with God, and we could call God our Father. And you know, is there another way to put it? Is there the Holy Spirit that dwells in you? Are you able to call and pray and call God your Father? I mean, that's one sign where if you have the gospel or not. Because faith, it kind of grows. We could get our doctrines together as we grow and develop things. Theologically, we could grow. But bottom line, do we have a relationship with God? I think that's a good question for us to ask. If we do, that's a sign that the gospel is planted in you and we can begin to grow. So that's number one. Do you have this message? Because this message is from, not from any man, Paul says. This message is from God, and we need this message. We need the gospel. Second thing is, if there's one thing that the book of Galatians teach us, it's this. It's that book of Galatians teaches us that anyone can fall away from the gospel. Like, anyone can live not in steps with the gospel. In surprisingly or shockingly, in chapter 2, you know who we read about that's not living according to the gospel? Is Apostle Peter. The Apostle Paul has to confront the Apostle Peter because Peter is not living out the gospel in a proper way. The Apostle Peter, I'm the leader of the early church. He's not in line with the gospel. It says he's not in steps with the truth of the gospel. Not just Galatians, these young Christians, but the apostle, one of the leaders of the church, is not in steps with the gospel. And I think what that says is, living in light of the gospel, we need to always kind of come back to the message that we have. Are we living according to what we know to be true about God and about His Son Jesus and about the Holy Spirit and what they accomplished for us? So that some of the questions that we could ask are things like, the question that I ask myself is, I ask, is there thankfulness? Am I thankful now? And then, is there joy in my Christian life? If my emotions, if I'm grumbling, if I'm bitter, and there's no really joy in my soul, I know that I'm not walking in steps with the gospel. Because what does the gospel tell us? It tells us that when we were nobodies, when we were sinners, when we were far from God, God came and rescued us. And in Christ, God looks at me and is delighted that God sees me through His Son Jesus, and I am perfectly righteous in God's sight. And I can call God, the Almighty God, Abba, Father, because of what He has accomplished for me. I mean, those things are tremendous, life-changing truth. And if that's embedded in my heart, I should be thankful. There should be a sense of joy. And so that's the question that I ask myself. Is there joy in my heart? Or am I simply, now, obligation and duty are part of our Christian life. Sometimes we just have to serve even if it's hard. And that's part of Christian life. But underneath that, is there a sense of joy and thankfulness? Can I worship God? Am I happy to be here? So I was thinking, you know, as I proclaim the gospel message, it's not, and I was thinking this week, I shouldn't just proclaim the contents of the gospel, but I should hopefully communicate the gospel in a joyful way. Am I doing okay? Am I going to be joyful? All right, okay. All right, okay, I don't know. Because that's what gospel creates, you know. It's no matter what things are happening in your life, and gosh, hard things happen, and at times terrible things happen to us or to people that we know. But underneath that, there is the river of gospel, and it ought to create joy and thankfulness. That's a question that I ask. Now, some other questions could be, are we always discouraged or depressed? That's another question that we could ask ourselves. And if we find ourselves in that emotion all the time, I think we need to ask ourselves, man, am I really holding on to the gospel, or am I listening to a false gospel? Another question that we could ask is, am I always critical? Am I always judgmental? That's another question, because what does gospel tell me? It tells us that when we were sinners, Christ died for us. That means I don't deserve all of these blessings. I'm not standing here as your pastor, or you're not standing here as Christians because you've done something. No, it's by grace and through mercy. And that means you can begin to treat others with that gospel lens. That doesn't mean that we're always perfect and we should always be joyful and we should always be, you know, happy. But it does mean that it gives us a lens to look at our situation and look at other people. There's a Christian counselor, author named Paul Tripp, and he talks about, and I think other theologians have mentioned this, but he talks about how we should, more often than not, preach the gospel to ourselves. And this is what it means. He says that oftentimes, we're good at listening to our own voices or even listening to other people's opinion of us. And if we do that all the time, what happens? Sometimes we get utterly crushed. You know, the voice comes and says, how could you do that? You're not good enough. You failed again. You've fallen again. Why? You called yourself a Christian. If we only hear these voices, then we'll get crushed. Or we'll get elevated to a place where there's no humility. And what he talks about is we need to preach the gospel, the good news, to ourselves all the time so that we're aligned with the gospel. So that there isn't a disconnect from what's happening in our life and what we believe about God and about Jesus in our soul. In order for us to make that connection, we need to meditate and we need to preach the gospel to ourselves constantly. And we've said this before, and that's part of what prayer is. When we begin to pray, Jesus told us to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Remember, God is your Father. Our Father in heaven. What is that? Well, that's, in a sense, preaching the gospel to yourself. It's reminding yourself who you are before God. That you are a son, a daughter. That is love. That God's Son had to pay and shed His blood to die for you. He purchased you. And you're now clothed in His righteousness. You're adopted into His family. What is that? Well, that's partly preaching the gospel to yourself. And Paul Tripp and as well as other Christian authors talk about this all the time. You need to preach the gospel to yourself, because unless you do that, you're going to go back and forth emotionally. So that's the second thing. If this message is from God, we need to make sure that we're living it out. We're aligned with the gospel all the time. And I'm still learning how to do that weekly. And I took some time to do that this past week just because, yeah, I mean, I need to do that. And I need to learn and grow in that. The third thing that I'm going to kind of mention about the gospel here and how it gets applied is, not only do we know the gospel and are we not, and secondly, are we aligned with the gospel? You know, we're living it out. So thirdly is, if this is this precious, he's passionate about the gospel and he gives his life for it. A third thing that I think we could think about is, do we cherish it and then are we able to give it away? Right? Are we sharing our faith, basically? And, you know, in one of Paul's letters, this is what he writes. He writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant of all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. The third thing is, if this is this crucial, if the gospel is this good and this precious and this life-changing, then we ought to share it verbally, demonstrate it through our life to other people. right? It could be in small ways, it could be in big ways, but if the gospel is the good news of God, from God, this is the message from God's grace, then we should not just keep it to ourselves. Paul, I mean, that's Paul's whole life. He says, I make myself whoever, however God's leading me to, so that I can share the gospel with others. And I do all of this. I go through all of these persecutions, all of these hardships, so that I might share the gospel and share in its blessings. So that's the third thing. If we begin to think, man, this is good news. This is God's message for humanity. Not just for me. We need to begin to share with other people. And, you know, obviously, you could start with people close to you. But however God's leading and relationships that you have, we begin to share. So the third implication. So the first part is, this is how Paul received the gospel. He received it from God, from Jesus. It was a revelation, not tradition. Paul didn't learn it on his own through meditation or education. He didn't receive it from other apostles. Now, Paul's main point here in this section, as he's sharing his testimony or spiritual autobiography, as he writes this, he's saying, no, this message came from God. And that's why I'm so passionate about this. That's why I'm risking my life for it, because this is a message from God for humanity. That's what Paul here says. The second thing that he talks about is, he talks about how this gospel then impacted his life. So let's look at a few verses here. I'll start from verse 13. And I want to highlight three phrases to kind of talk about this. Verse 13, he says, for you have heard my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. So we'll kind of pause there. So Paul is saying, he's sharing his testimony now. And he gives us three phrases. We'll talk about his former life. And then he says, but this is what God did. And then lastly, he says, in order that. Right? So he says in the beginning, former life. This is how I was like before. And what do we learn about him? He says, he persecuted the church. And when we look at the book of Acts, he murdered Christians. He was there when Stephen was being stoned to death, applauding. At Acts chapter 8, 9, he talks about how Paul would go from house to house and drag men and women and throw them into prison. That's who Paul was. He was a violent, angry, prideful person. No doubt about it. That's who Paul was. He says, that was my former life. That's who I was. Now, you think about that. Sometimes I think when we look at ourselves, our situation, or other people, sometimes you go, I don't know how God's going to ever change me. I don't know how God's going to ever deliver me from my situation. Or you look at someone else and you go, I don't know how God's going to ever work in his life or her life. And Paul's testimony is, this was how I was before I met Christ, before gospel came to me. I was a violent, angry, prideful person. But he doesn't stop there. Look at verse 14. And then he says, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. Here's the second thing that Paul says. He says, on the one hand, I was a violent man. I murdered Christians. I opposed the church. On the other hand, I was extremely religious man. I obeyed the law. In fact, I was so zealous about keeping my tradition of Judaism, I went beyond anyone else in my age. He literally says he beat others to get higher position. I mean, he was doing well in Judaism. He was a rule follower. He was a religious person. And I think this is why Paul is is important. A lot of times when we share the gospel, or when we think about the gospel, what do we think? We go, you know, when we tell someone, hey, you know, do you know the gospel? You know what gospel means? Usually people think gospel equals religion, or gospel equals church. So they would respond back something like, oh, you go to church? Right? This is a few months ago. It was just really interesting, just different people you meet. my son was in a soccer team, but his head coach was a Muslim, and it was really interesting because you know, I told him, hey, I'm a pastor, and then I had to tell them that because my son had games on Sundays, and I said, hey, man, I can't let him, or he could play at certain times, but hey, these things, you know, he's not going to be able to make it to the game. And then he asked me, he said, well, you know, why can't he make it to the game? And I said, you know, because I'm a pastor. One, practically, I can't drive him and preach at the same time. But secondly, I want him to worship with my family. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, talked about, like, Christian faith, some. And then it was really, it was, you know, like, it was funny because he came back, and he said, I respect you. Like, you're a religious person. You know what I said? And you know what I saw him do, actually? I was actually really, in some sense, like, humbled. Like, during his practice, like, I saw him actually bow and pray. Like, facing, what's that, east. Yeah. And he did that a few times. I don't know if anyone else recognized it, but I noticed it. He knelt down. It was not too long, maybe like, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. I saw him do that. And, you know, yeah, we talked about that a little bit. And here's what I am guessing, and maybe people that you know, and maybe this is how you think today. That when I'm talking about the gospel, when I'm talking about Jesus, you're equating that to coming to church. Oh, here's the gospel. This is a message from God. And maybe immediately you think, oh, you know, that means being religious. Paul, this is important, guys, friends. Paul was a religious person. Jesus rescued him from religion. Gospel is for the religious and irreligious. God is for the moral and immoral people. Because at the heart of religion is people wanting to reach God, right? The gospel is, it flips that. We can't reach God on our own. God came to reach us. And what we see, what Paul's testimony is, I was not only a violent person, but I was a religious person, but Jesus rescued me. And later in his book, he talks about freedom. He talks about the gospel, grace versus law, what the difference is in chapter 3. But that's his testimony. He's saying, I kept all the law. I followed the rules. But I still didn't know God until God came and showed me, or came and revealed himself to me. So that's Paul's testimony, right? My former way of life was I was a murderer, and I was extremely religious, but Jesus came and rescued me from both. And if you, again, we'll talk about that more and what the difference is in chapter 3. But then he goes on. So that he says, that was my former life. Verse 15, he says, but when he who set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me, we'll pause there for a second. So Paul says, here is my former way of life, but this is what God's done for me. And he mentions two things. One, he says he knew me before I was born. I think that's important. One, God knew Paul before he met God, right? And Paul here says, when I look back at my life, I recognize that God was with me from the very beginning. Before I was born, before I was able to recognize who God is, God knew me. I think on one hand, it says that when we are even not aware of who God is and what God is doing, God is working in our life. You know, sometimes when we live this Christian life or live life, we kind of think, you know, where is God? Why is this happening to me? How is God ever going to work in my situation here and now? What Paul here says is God was present from the beginning. And he could look back with all the training and all the education and passion and zeal and everything that he had that worked against God. God was still there working. And we see that God redeems that. So Paul here says, this is who I was, but God, one, God knew me before I was born, and two, it pleased him to reveal Jesus to me. That's pretty neat verse, I think, because it shows us what pleases God. What pleases God is when Jesus is revealed. Right, so here it says, even though I was the enemy, it pleased God to reveal Jesus to me. And that shows grace and mercy. That when I was opposing His church, opposing the gospel, God found delight in showing Jesus to me. So this is my former way of life. This is what God did. And then lastly, it says here, was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. So last phrase there is in order that. So here's what my former way of life, here's what God did in order that. So I think that third part is significant because it reminds us that the gospel is not just for us to take it and then feel good about ourselves. It says in order that Paul could begin to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. If you think about that, and Paul was a rabbi, he was a Pharisee, he knew the Judaism, and he could have been a great missionary to the Jews, but God doesn't send him to the Jews, He sends him to the Gentiles. I think we could gather two things, but one, you know, God redeems all of our background, all of our mistakes, and everything, even our failures to use us. But secondly, God doesn't always place us in a perfect situation. God uses our weaknesses. He might send us to a place that we're not comfortable with. And Paul, a Jewish Pharisee, God sends him to the Gentiles, where he probably didn't feel that comfortable compared to being amongst the Jews. So that's what God does. And the question that we could ask ourselves is, how is gospel working in your life? Do you have this third piece where you go, you look at your former way of life. This is who I was. I was ignorant about the gospel. I didn't know who God was, but God did this. Maybe some of you guys have that testimony, right? This is who I was before, but God did this. Now what's the third part of your testimony? In order that what? What follows that? In order, because gospel doesn't stop there, right? I mean, for Paul, he becomes a Jew. He does whatever he can to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. Every gospel story has that third component, right? Because once we are captured by the gospel and recognize who God is, how God rescued us, it propels us to go forward to others, as we talked about, whether to share or to serve. That's why towards the end of Galatians, Paul says, here's how you fulfill the law of Christ. This is how it gets worked out. He says, share or carry each other's burdens. In doing that, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So how is that getting worked out in your life, right? Is there in order that piece? Or are you, you know, you're always thinking about, like me, thinking about, okay, what's next for me? You know, how is everyone thinking, what's people thinking about me? It's always self-focused, but when you're there, man, it's like anti-gospel because gospel sends us forth. It's like God rescued you. This is good news from God. Go now and share it with others. Where is that third piece for you? And I think that's where I want to kind of close this afternoon. How is that third piece playing out in your life? In order that God rescued you, in order that what? Every time I meet with other pastors, other people, like I just talk about what God's doing at our church generally, and that's exciting, right? And that part that sometimes kind of comes out most naturally for me is like our partnership with Spain and how God's been using that piece, and our Samaria project and what God's doing there, because those are kind of like the fruit of the gospel maturity, right? That as we're kind of growing in the gospel as a church, our byproduct is, man, let me go and share this good stuff with all the people. And it kind of naturally flows out as a church. Now, individually, maybe that's something that we can talk about. How is it flowing out? For some of us, it might be how you treat, I don't know, your friends or your roommates or your spouse. Maybe it's how you treat others around you. Maybe it comes out in forgiveness towards others. Maybe it comes out in act of kindness. But it bursts out. It flows out because there's this piece in order that one. And that's something that all of us need to think about a bit. So what Paul, let me just summarize it. What Paul is saying is he gives us in chapter 2, beginning of chapter 2, at the end of chapter 1, he gives us a spiritual autobiography. And he says two things. Here is how I received the gospel. It's not man's message. It's from God. It's a revelation from Jesus. And that's why it's so important to me. And that's why I lose my life, risk my life to spread it towards others. And here's how it has impacted me personally, Paul says. This was my former way of life. But this is what God did in order that I might preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And friend, that's what we have here. We have the gospel message, a message from God, and God is working in your life to use you to further His kingdom. Let's pray, then we'll close our time. Dear God, we come before you this afternoon, and we pray, Lord, that the things that we think about and talk about, the songs that we sing, which have to do with the gospel, your message. We pray that these things will not be disconnected from our everyday life, our situations, and how we respond to other people. We pray that there will be a sense of connectedness between what we believe, our theology, what we believe about you, and how we live that out. And so we pray, Lord, as a church, that you would help us to go deeper and deeper into this message from God so that we can begin to live it out in a way that pleases you. You know what things people are going through here in this room. You know the struggles and tensions that they feel. Lord, we pray that instead of using their intellect or relying on other things to solve that, I pray that my friends here will know, and our church will know, to lean on the gospel, and that we might respond to life in a manner that is aligned to your message towards us. We thank you for your grace, and thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your love for us. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.